Thursday, August 29th in the books, State Rep. Vin Candelora from North Brantford, Republican Deputy Minority Leader in the House, called in to check in about Governor Ned Lamont not seeing eye to eye with the state's health commissioner about vaccination stats. Also later on, State Senator Len Fasano, North Haven, the Minority Leader in the Senate, checked in with us about a couple of big issues going on at the state capitol. And I also had a few thoughts about whether or not soccer star Carly Lloyd could really play in the NFL.
I have no problem with a woman competing for a position in a men's sport. I actually don't. But my only problem was you see this bevy of articles. Oh my, look at this. She can do it. No, no, no. She kicked 155-yarder in practice, not in a game condition. Not with 11 guys set up on the kick block team who all have, let's put it this way, seven of the 11 have like 6% body fat and are made of muscle and can run a 4.440. The other four guys, the down linemen, are all, 6'8", 305, 315, and they will be looking to break through that line and block that kick any way they can. Could she kick a ball 55 yards? Absolutely. We've seen that. Try it in a game condition. They want to sign her for an exhibition game. You want to pull a George Plimpton? That's fine.
The only place in Fairfield County for live local talk. This is Connecticut Today with Paul Pacelli, WICC 600.
All right, 203-333-9422, 333 WICC. And I'm sincere about the remarks I made about Carly Lloyd. And Tim from Hamden was right. In fact, yesterday, Aaron and I, after the show, were discussing some things about high school athletics in the state, and I went to the CIAC record book online, and they do have a separate section for girls' records kicking and playing in high school football. That's fine. This is the National Football League. Okay? If you've ever been in a pro football locker room or a major college locker room like I have, these are mountainous guys.
These guys are, again,
the linebackers, the defensive backs, these guys have very little body fat. They have rock-hard bodies. They just pound people all day. The down linemen can barely fit through the doorways. They're so big. Carly Lloyd's 5'6" or 5'7", 140 pounds. If she can kick, fine, but please stop with this notion that she could play full-time in the NFL. She's 5'7", thank you, Aaron, 5'7", 140, which is fine for her sport. She's a world champion at her sport. Could she survive in the NFL as a full-time kicker in game conditions with guys coming full tilt to block the kick? Nah, I don't know. But please, can we stop treating her as a circus act? She deserves better.
You won't be judged here.
Well, maybe a little.
Connecticut Today with Paul Pacelli, WICC 600.
And we thank you for listening. Yes, 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 we do. 3:32, 28 before 4 o'clock. A bit of controversy here. We've been talking about it for the first 90 minutes of the show. Something you don't see or hear about too often in Connecticut politics. A sitting governor overruling one of his or her state commissioners. Joining us right now, Deputy House Minority Leader, Representative Vin Candelora of North Brantford. Vin, one of the folks there whose eyebrows were raised at Governor Lamont ordering the state health commissioner to release some broad information regarding the rates of vaccinations here in Connecticut. Vin, thanks for joining us. I know you're some of the people who kind of looked at this and had some raised eyebrows, correct?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit odd for a governor to be overruling, the commissioner that he put in charge of public health. Usually you rely on that level of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
And I think overall with this whole issue is, I sort of side with the commissioner. I'm not sure how helpful it is at this point in time when our children are going back to school. parents are introducing their children to school for the first time in some cases, to be releasing data that might be politically charged and used as sort of a football, there's plenty of other things right now that we should be focusing on.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, Vin, that's the whole thing. I mean, I understand there's this, you think this, well, let me ask, do you think this has anything to do with this lawsuit that's been filed and one of your compadres in the House, Kara Pavlak-D'Amato, I've had her on the show to talk about this. Do you think that that there might be a little bit of a political angle here on this, Vin, judging by what's going on?
I do, and the reason I say it is because in June, or in late May, we received information showing what the vaccination rates were for schools in 2017 and 18.
Yeah.
And, you know, that data is not going to change. Children don't become unvaccinated. So in order for there to be dramatic changes to that data, you would have to have people migrating into the state of Connecticut, upwards of hundreds of thousands of kids unvaccinated. So to me, the data really isn't helpful to release at this point in time. We know the debate on whether or not to keep the religious exemption is going to be had in February when we go back into session. But right now, I think this data is hitting, frankly, at the worst time for school-aged children when they're returning to school. We just shouldn't be using it as a political football. Let the kids go into the classrooms, assimilate into the new year, new schools, and focus on those issues rather than trying to excite parents on both sides of the issue.
You know, Vin, which would lead me to think, and Vin Candelora is the guest, which would lead me to think, Vin, you're right. There are two houses of the General Assembly. You have the state's health commissioner, both of whom the you guys in the legislature, you guys and gals in the commissioner, can draw and call on numerous health experts on arguments pro and con this when you get back for the session at the beginning of 2020. So, again, I'm just shocked that the governor did this.
And I think the takeaway for the public should be that the state of Connecticut has a full-time state epidemiologist on staff that monitors these numbers and looks at the public health issues in the state of Connecticut. If there is a public health crisis, it would be the commissioner and her staff that would be raising those issues first. And so I think the public should avoid thinking that there is some sort of public health crisis on why this data needs to be released. I really think that the Democrats and the governor are playing political football. You know, they're making a political maneuver by trying to release this data. There are going to be some schools that have lower vaccination rates than others.
Yeah.
But overall, that doesn't mean that we are unsafe as a society. And that's why it's unfortunate. I think we should be backing our commissioner. We should be listening to that agency and go into the regular session to address other issues. But my takeaway is, and for the public, there's not a public health crisis going on here right now.
Good point. Yeah, Vin, hang on. I want to ask you about what may follow this next year. And I know there's now a push from the governor has started all of a sudden to talk about doing some release of school by school numbers. Hang on. Vin Candelora, Deputy Minority Leader, Republican, North Branford, Connecticut State House, on the phone with us for a few more minutes as we discuss a rather odd, I guess you could use the word, the governor for some reason stepping in here and kind of bigfooting his appointee, his public health commissioner. She says no reason to release any more vaccination numbers, and he's going to do it. Vin, we're now seeing where the governor, correct me if I'm wrong, he is even talking about maybe allowing school-by-school vaccination numbers to be released. To me, Vin, just my humble opinion here as I flap my gums here, to me that's a step too far.
Yeah, I do. I think it is. And I think the reason why is that there's a heightened sensitivity of releasing data relating to school records, to healthcare records. When you start releasing that type of data, you're potentially exposing, the climates in particular districts. And based on class sizes, based on communities, the information, number one, could be skewed.
Yeah.
So that people are looking at the data, you can't really discern whether there's public health risks or public health issues. But it also creates this sort of scarlet letter mentality where people are going to start searching out their districts of which children are vaccinated or unvaccinated. And the question really should be not whether or not a particular child is vaccinated, but whether or not there is a public health concern in the state of Connecticut. That data belongs squarely in public health, the commissioner's hands, and the experts' hands, not something to be disseminated to the public to allow them to try to interpret and evaluate. All that does is create, you know, sort of public hysteria and a lot of armchair quarterbacks.
And
it, you know, it's dangerous, I think, the route that we're going.
Yeah, and as one of your colleagues said when I had her on last week, she said, look, some of these schools are not that big. And, you know, if people were to be able to look this up, as you say, Vin, by individual school, you know, and say, oh, there's 10 or 15 religious exemptions here. Well, you know, word gets around. They know, for example, who the Christian Scientists are in the school or, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses or Seventh-day Adventists. There are a lot of, I think, more than people realize, Vin, sometimes there are a lot of people, for whatever reason, for religious freedom, have different views on things like blood transfusions, vaccinations, and people aren't dumb. They're going to try and figure this out.
Oh, that's right. And also, I would also say that because you exercise the exemption doesn't mean your child is unvaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
So there are individuals that sign off on this exemption, and their children may be vaccinated, but they don't disclose that information. So there's not a direct correlation. And I think there are some people, you know, that may receive, you know, the chickenpox vaccine, but not receive the flu vaccine.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they might blanketly exercise that religious exemption,
mm-hmm.
and it showed that child is registered as being unvaccinated, which might not be correct. So there's a lot of, you know, I think a more level of detail. And, you know, there's an infrastructure in place. We have school nurses. We have the Department of Public Health. We have our school principals. All of them are protecting the best interests of our children.
Yes, I mean, Vin, it's not like it's not like if a school nurse or somebody in a particular school in the city notices a lot of sick kids with measles, it's not like they're not going to say anything.
Well, and that's right. And children that are immunocompromised or may have different issues, the school nurses are going to have that dialogue with the parents. And there is, you know, there's a level of personal relationship that goes along with that. To pull all of that out and put it in legislators' hands, you know, I'm fairly cynical. Look at the way we handle our state budget.
Well, yeah.
And now we're going to start getting involved in healthcare decisions that are personal to family members.
A lot of your constituents, Vin, might say, Vin, love you, but pave the roads. Never mind.
Well, you know, that's right. And now we are politicizing all of this and releasing this data and playing this out in the media as opposed to sitting around a table and having a conversation. To me, this whole discussion is gross, and it's not the way the state of Connecticut should be behaving, and I'm very disappointed where this dialogue has gone. I had expected that there would be more comprehensive discussion
mm-hmm.
with the commissioner on a personal level through the legislative process as opposed to playing this out to media outlets.
It is, Vin. It is a bizarre. It really is a kind of a bizarre turn of events here. State Rep. Vin Candelora, Republican, North Brantford, Deputy Minority Leader. Vin, always good to hear you. Thanks, buddy.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye bye. Well, there you go, folks. So, you know, they had hoped to hash this out behind closed doors. But now what is happening is the governor, for some reason, has stepped in here and said, release the statewide data. And maybe we need to release school by school data. It's a complicated issue. It's not, please don't just say, and I have some friends of mine who've communicated with me on this subject in the past to say, oh, come on, just get your kids, just get your kids, give them all the shots there and let everybody know. No, it's not that easy. And this is one of those issues, especially, where we have to be careful. Now, there's two things you have to look at here. Number one, the first thing is, there is a public health There is a public health concept here, obviously. Part of this is a public health discussion. You have to take a rational and a open-eyed, as it were, look regarding what are the real issues here, the real concerns, the real dangers, the pros and the cons. The second thing in weighing this, whether you're somebody like me flapping his gums on the radio here, or somebody who sits in the General Assembly like Vin, or the governor or commissioner, is you have to understand the upbringing of people. And this is whether it's attitudes on vaccination, whether it's attitudes about guns or abortion or the environment or big government, small government, whatever. All of this invariably circles around eventually to understanding where someone is coming on this. And, you know, I learned a long time ago when I was doing shows like this, I've learned over the years, you can't just sit back and say, well, those people are nuts, they're crazy. Now, I sit here on shows sometimes, and if I hear a politician on a national scale that I think is nuts, I'm kind of saying it in a good-mannered way, you know what I mean? But I don't know what goes on in their lives, because our beliefs and things are invariably tied to our upbringing. So don't be so, at least when it comes to the religious exemptions, don't be so quick to judge. Now, if you want to judge somebody as being a flat earther when we know the earth is round, if you want to call somebody dumb for, you know, saying the moon landing never happened, be my guest, because that's the kind of stuff that drives me crazy. But if you're going to talk about the way a parent treats a child, if that parent looks to be a fine parent, then, you know, chill out for just a little.
Listening to Connecticut Today with Paul Pacelli on WICC 600.
And hi there, it is hour number four of our four-hour get-together. Hi, how are you? Glad to see you. If you're just joining us, hope your day has been pretty good. We have had a wonderful time here so far at Connecticut Today. We are always at 203-333-9422, 333-WICC-600 on the radio and WICC600.com online with you 24 hours a day on whatever your digital device is, your iPhone, your Android, your tablet, your PC, your netbook, your laptop, desktop, whatever, and it is good to have you with us here. We appreciate that. I'm going to do a little quick check up north here at the Capitol. Joining us, one of our friends, Len Fasano, State Senate Majority Leader, North Haven. Len, how are you, buddy?
Good, Paul. How you been?
Not too bad. Good. I want to have you on a couple of things. Before we get to the governor's pronouncement today and kind of catching everybody on the blind side about these, about the fact that he bigfooted the state's health commissioner, has there been any movement, Len, on this whole controversy with Scott Bates? We talked to a couple of people about this early in the week, but, you know, here's a guy that was a little circumspect in some deals he did with the Port Authority. Now he's kind of hunkered down still, Len, in the Secretary of the State's office?
Yes. You know, I think it comes down to the Secretary of State making a decision. It's her department. It's got to have credibility. It's got to have confidence of the public. And if Mr. Bates left the Port Authority under a cloud and believed that it was in the best interest that he leaves the Port Authority because he left under his own volition, I would think that sort of circumspect follows him to Denise Grohl's office, the Secretary of State. And if any place, government should be trusted everywhere, but in any place, in vote counting and cyber protection, which is what he's into, you know, it follows them there. And this now pulls the question of the Secretary of State being able to make decisions on the best interest of the people of the state of Connecticut, not be political.
Is she, Len, I mean, has she said anything? Has she responded to any of the concerns you guys have in the General Assembly about this? Or are we getting radio silence from her?
She has not responded to the Port Authority actions, but what she has said is basically, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember her exact quote, but I stand by Mr. Bates, and he's not going anyplace.
Wow. Wow. Len, the other issue I wanted to check in with you on this afternoon is something that happened late yesterday, and I've been taking calls on it all day today. We've had a good discussion on it here regarding the situation with Governor Lamont doing something, Len, that I don't recall governors doing for years and years, kind of bigfooting and going against the state health commissioner here on releasing basic information regarding vaccination rates. We all know, you and I know, and the people listening to the show know about the controversy there, but were you surprised when you heard the governor did this or not?
Yes and no. You know, I think that I'm not sure where all that is going
and
what's driving this issue, frankly. The governor, at least I'm sort of optimistic that he took a more heavy-handed approach than I've seen him take on a lot of issues. So that was the surprise to me. The issue itself, I'm not surprised over, but I'm surprised that he has sort of taken a heavy-handed approach where he sort of had hands off onto anything and sort of just let things happen and whiz by him and over him. So I was kind of surprised he would take a stance on this issue.
Yeah.
When there's so many issues, I didn't see him take a strong stand on quasis that are going around, whether it's the lottery or Port Authority or CRDA, which have had a number of issues. He hasn't taken a stand on that. So I'm just sort of miffed as to which ones he's thinking about and which ones he's not. And when we look at these quasis, and we're talking with the Lottery Commission, an awful lot of money. With Port Authority, we're talking about a lot of contracts.
Yeah.
And maybe not a lot of money, but certainly a lot of wheeling and dealing that I think, protecting the state, he should have a very, very much a bigger role to play.
Mm-hmm. And now, Len, and I talked to Vin Candelora about this a little while ago today on the show, and he, like you, was a little, a little surprised that now we're hearing about, you know, he's behind a push here, maybe next year, to okay, you know, individual school-by-school vaccination and information to be released here. To me, Len, this is only my opinion, I think that's going to go a little far. I don't know what you think, but to me, that's where you can kind of draw the line. I don't know what your thought is on that.
No, I agree with you, Paul. I just don't know what this guy is thinking about or how he thinks. And I'm not being disrespectful.
No, you're right. No, I get it.
Don't. You know, we've got issues of transportation. And we have issues of, I think, you know, getting ready in case we have a recession. And we have issues with nursing homes that are closing because they can't afford the new rules the governor's DSS has put out relative to new rules on nursing homes that are closing nursing home down in Hamden and the eastern part of Connecticut. Why he isn't focusing on these things is beyond me. And to go pick a fight in an area like this, which, you know, when they talk about a measles outbreak, we're only talking a very small amount of cases. We have to be concerned about them. But there isn't a widespread outbreak epidemic in Connecticut. So I don't know why he's doing what he's doing. He's been more concerned over the Woodstock anniversary that's coming up than he has been around the Port Authority. He's doing commercials for the Woodstock anniversary.
Maybe you know what, Len? Maybe he's just a closet stoner. Maybe we love him because he's a hippie at that heart, you know?
He could be. And God bless him. I mean, that's the area he grew up in, and that's his memories and his comfort zone. I'm with him with that. But it brings him up to the same level.
Yeah.
All these other things that people elected him to oversee. And I just don't see it. I see a sort of, this was over maybe a month afterwards, it kind of worked. And then there was this it's summertime.
Yeah.
I need to be, well, what city's going to be in North Haven? I said, hey.
When I read lead, I go, oh, the governor's got a cottage in North Haven. I'm like, where in North Haven? Find out it's up in Maine. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Len, thanks. Well, you know what it is, Len? Maybe he is a closet hippie. He's not like you Yale guys yet, Len. You know, you straight-laced Yale guys. You run the world, right? Is you skull and bones guys.
All the time.
Yeah, right.
All the time.
Thanks, Len. Appreciate it. Be good. We'll be in touch. Thanks. Yep. All right. Len Fasano there.